From beanies to carry bags and from shoes to caps, browse our shop now at tntradio.live. You're with Joseph Arthur and Adam Ruckus Clark on TNT Radio.
Matt Gaetz votes for Trump to be Speaker of the House. Kevin McCarthy is lost 11 times by now. But Adam Ruckus Clark is on Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dream. Now. That's right, Adam Ruckus Clark is on Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast now on TNT Radio. On TNT Radio. What's up, Adam Ruckus Clark? How are you, my friend?
Howdy, howdy, howdy. I am fine. Today's my Monday, as we discussed recently. So just got done doing the boiler room.
That's right.
And, yeah, been a busy day.
What'd you guys talk about over there on the boiler room?
I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you.
Then you'd have to kill me.
Yeah. Just kidding. It was actually we didn't get much farther than the icebreaker, which is what Spore brings, as you know, she usually finds a weird story off the internet or something shared from the listeners. And she actually chose to investigate further a story that was shared to Hesher, Brian McLean, on his show earlier today, courtesy of John Matland, right here on TNT. It was a story about a microbe that can and most likely will be used to convert plastic waste, well, plastic of any type, really, into basically food, like a protein paste. So it's absolutely insane. So that's pretty Yikes. Much what we talked about before I had to slip on out of there to come over here. We got started a little bit later over there than usual. So I didn't get to spend the whole show with them this evening. But regardless, it was a fun conversation while it lasted. And here we are.
So I guess we should have stuck with the bugs they were trying to feed us, because now they're trying to feed us plastic instead. I guess bugs might be better than plastic. I don't know. That's kind of a toss-up. I mean, I don't know which one I would rather eat.
Well, you know how there's plastic bugs. What if we take the plastic bugs and feed the plastic bugs to the microbes and then eat that, and we just satisfy everybody? You're like, there you go. Problem solved. Everybody's
bugs and
happy.
Plastic.
Yeah. Now yeah, stop hitting
I'll
your
have
sister.
The...
Sit down.
Yeah, I'll have the quiet. Bugs in plastic cordon bleu, please.
Yeah, for real. Reminds me of all the plastic food yeah. we used to play with when we were kids. Like,
well, Twitter CEO Elon Musk declared on Thursday that Republican leader Kevin McCarthy should become Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives. Although the GOP holds a majority in the House, McCarthy hasn't garnered enough support from within his own ranks to assume the position. Quote, Kevin McCarthy should be Speaker, Musk tweeted on Thursday morning, a day after McCarthy came up short in the sixth successive ballot aimed at nominating a Speaker to replace outgoing Democrat Nancy Pelosi. And then the update, as we know, is now it's gone 11 times where he's been shot down. So I don't know. I guess the question is he going to take a knee, or is he just going to keep going? And then we had Matt Gaetz call for Trump to be Speaker of the House. And then Trump shared some kind of funny photo on Truth Social about him sitting in that position with his tongue out. So it's all getting, you know, truth is getting stranger than fiction, if it wasn't already stranger than it is. But there was an interesting aspect to this whole thing too, because Matt Gaetz said he would give Kevin McCarthy his vote if he would agree to border sanctions. What was the BBU? I remembered it by border sanctions. What's the other B? Budget, rounding the budget in Ukraine. If he would, stand down on Ukraine and not carry that war on for eternity, and he would not agree to any of those stipulations. So I think that's what made Matt Gaetz yell out Trump's name.
Okay, so is that a legitimate thing? Are they? Is he on the ballot? Do people vote for him? Did they vote for Trump?
Well, I think people just nominate. I mean, this is a, you know, I'm kind of learning. It's like, well, we're all getting a masterclass on how this goes down this week, as it's just the Republican Party is just in shambles here. I mean, this is the first time in 100. If he doesn't stand down now, I think if it goes to vote again, this will be the first time one of these has gone on this long in 164 years. Somebody said. So this is an unusual turn of events for sure. This is,
isn't it nice?
History in the making.
It got to one of my favorite numbers too, 11. You know, I'm like, I don't know. You know, so.
Yeah,
not that that means anything in this case, obviously, but yeah, this whole thing is just it's a circus, is what this is. That's definitely how the left is portraying it, and I'd be like, yeah, I agree in this case, you know. So this is just silly. This is stupid. This is kind of seriously holding up the government, the way we work, the way we do things. We don't have a second option in case something happens to the sitting president. It goes to the VP, but if VP is not available or something happened to them, then it goes to the speaker, and we don't have a speaker right now. So there's always that to consider. I think it would go to the next in line is Senate something. I forget who it is. It's some chick I've never even
majority
heard of.
Leader.
No, it's somebody. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But this is silly to me, all of this. And now they're arguing and fighting. I was listening to some clips earlier today, and I'm like, wow, this sounds like, you know, how the UK's, the House of Parliament and all of their government houses, they get all rowdy and banging into the gavel and like, and yelling and screaming at each other. That's how this is erupting and turning into all the time now, from what I'm seeing. It's getting pretty wild. So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if there's any kind of time limits or what finally happens if they can't come to any sort of decision here. I don't really know that. Do you have any sort of intel on that? No. Is there any kind of time limit, or can this just keep going on and on and on?
From what I hear, it could just go on forever. Yeah. Wouldn't that be lovely?
And what do you think this says about the state of the Republican Party? It seems to be like a third party sort of emerging, or the Republican Party splitting into two, basically, the MAGA side and then the Rhino side.
I really think we're living through a dismantling of the current systems. We're undergoing the Great Reset. You know what I mean? So everybody and everything, we're losing complete faith and trust in. Religion, science, in particular, recently, media, the way the voting system, now the existing, the way the process works is obviously broken and not working, right? We can't even get a Speaker of the House elected. Come on, people. Like, we must look like a laughingstock to the rest of the world. You know what I'm saying? We must literally look like a circus, you know, at this point, with the old man, President Biden there and everything. This is just, like, this can't be by accident. This is all falling apart right in front of our eyes. We're supposed to witness it falling apart, and then everybody's just going to lose their you know what, and then, you know, bam, it's time to rebuild from the ashes. That's seriously where we're at. This is another one of those. We're just witnessing it. It feels so weird to see it. It's almost like we're going through, I think I mentioned it, I'm having my own version of cognitive dissonance lately. You know, I can't believe, like, you know, that what we're seeing, like, is this even real? It's crazy. It's just crazy.
Yeah, it is. It is very crazy. I mean, I think the Democrats must be sort of laughing a little bit at the Republicans at this point. I mean, the Republicans are kind of making fools of themselves, I think, over this. And just splitting apart into two different parties, basically. I mean, how realistic do you think it would be for Trump to actually end up becoming Speaker of the House?
No, if they could get him, I don't know how this works, but let's say it came up for a vote and it was like, okay, we're going to choose between Trump and McCarthy. Well, now people are going to vote in larger numbers for McCarthy. So that might be a clever way for them to get McCarthy in, see? It's all like reverse psychology.
And why do you think they would vote?
because but, it'd be but, like a anyone but Trump situation.
Yeah, but it's the MAGA Republicans that are resisting McCarthy, because McCarthy's all for just sort of the Democratic policies, basically. He's the omnibus bill, you know, go, 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 Ukraine war, go, 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 you know. That's why Matt Gaetz, like, pushed him, like, if you do these things, if you, you know, even out the budget, if you deal with the border, if you deal with Ukraine in a way that's not just constantly throwing money away, then you'll get my vote. And he refused to agree to that.
Right. But what if the Democrats, who are sick and tired of the stalling, decide to, because they've all, every single Democrat's been throwing their votes behind House Democratic Leader Hakeem Jeffries. So what if somebody, right, enough people from that side decide to, like, stick it to Trump? Or what if they come into work with a hangover and they're like, oh, Trump, screw this guy. I'm going to, just to spite him, I'm going to vote for McCarthy. That one vote gets him in or something. I don't know. You never know.
Well, it'll probably get embarrassing for McCarthy at a certain point. You know, I think at a certain point he'll have to take a knee, because you don't want to be the guy that makes history this way. The first time in 164 years they couldn't come to a decision because of you. You know what I mean? You don't really want that in your CV. So we might see him stand down. I don't know where it goes from there, but...
humbug. Certainly politics.
Crazy, crazy times. Yeah, I know. You and me both, man. Well, stunning documents were obtained by a former executive of a pharmaceutical contract research organization, Sasha Latpova, that the Department of Defense controlled the whole contracting process for COVID-19 vaccines. The trials were fake, in fact. And we had Glenn Macko on TNT. We broke this story weeks ago, actually. But now this is becoming more mainstream news. Redacted did a big piece on it. So it seems to be somewhat legitimate. And it's getting going wide now that the Department of Defense was behind this whole operation. And so all the human trials were nothing more than theater. And there was no trials at all. And so who knows the effect that this will have. I heard somebody compare the Twitter files to the new WikiLeaks today. And I thought of you, Ruckus, because these things are coming to light. This is shifting the narrative in a deep way. Did you hear about this Department of Defense stuff coming out today? It kind of went heavy.
It didn't go heavy enough. I completely missed it. I'm not even kidding. Yeah, I'm scrambling to find a story. I can't even find. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, well, it looks like a legitimate thing. So we'll see. We'll see where that goes from there. But breaking, the DoD controlled COVID vaccines from the start under National Security Program, lied the entire time, were never safe and effective. Let's see, a combination of the PrEP Act, Emergency Use Authorization, and other transactions, authorities shielded big pharma agencies and medical participants that delivered unregulated vaccines from any liability. According to congressionally passed statuses, research of active laws and extra detail obtained through the Freedom of Information Act, the Department of Defense owns, implements, and oversees the COVID vaccine program as a countermeasure to foreign attack. While the public was bombarded with an orchestrated fear campaign, the U.S. government managed the COVID response as a national security threat. So, and this article goes deep into it. It's from CD Media, but I've seen it in a few different places. So this is going out there now as legitimate, at least in the alternative media space. So who knows, man? Who knows how long it'll take Tucker to cover this and it go real wide. But this is another huge, huge blow to the COVID narrative. And I think people will be none too happy to find out they were taking part in a government experiment, basically. with nothing but theater for trials.
Wow. Oh, well, wouldn't be the first time that they did this, I suppose. Yep, this goes back to what I was saying. Be. All of the things just dissolving right in front of us, all the conspiracy theories coming true. Yet again, do you think anyone's going to hear about this? I didn't even hear about this. And this is what I do. I mean, literally, I'm scrolling through the news all day long, looking for news stories.
Well, I did send you that link. I did
I the one I just missed it.
Sorry. You missed it. Yeah, it's not out bad. There. I mean, Redacted is a pretty big source. I mean, they have a massive, you know, millions of followers on YouTube, and they did a 37-minute piece on it today. So it's definitely going wider than when we broke it here on TNT a couple weeks ago. So, and Steve Hirsch came on, Steve Kirsch, and I asked him about the legitimacy of that. And he hinted that this indeed would break out, basically. He said, yeah, there's going to be another bombshell in the next week or so. And then when I asked him about the DOD's involvement in the COVID-19 vaccine, he paused and said, like I said, there's going to be another bombshell that comes out in another week or so. And this is another week or so. So here we go. And you know, fair enough that you missed it, because it's just coming through the cracks now. But I have a feeling this is something Tucker's going to end up covering. And, you know, I mean, talk about the destroyed narrative of the COVID campaign. You know, that's what we're witnessing.
But how can you just do that? Because this all happened under Trump's watch. So, no, you will not see this on Tucker Carlson. You will not see this on Fox News. I disagree strongly. I'll caveat that with saying that if they do, they're just going to somehow tie this to blame this to Democrats. It's all Democrats' fault somehow or whatever. I don't know. But yeah. But no, they're not going to talk about this.
This story is too big to remain submerged, especially if it's going as wide as it is right now. So I don't know who's going to cover it, but I would be willing to bet you 1 million Shiba Inu, Ruckus. We'll be right back with more on TNT.
TNT Radio's Mike Ryan.
We see the witch hunt. The January 6th committee has recommended charges for Trump. The Democrat-led panel has urged the Justice Department to prosecute the ex-president for insurrection. It wasn't an insurrection. What it was more like a fancy dress party, which was chaperoned by the FBI. But they also work for the Democrat Party. Somebody called them the DBI instead of the FBI. Donald Trump, who last month announced another run for the White House in 2024, has dismissed the January 6th committee's recommendation to the Justice Department to prosecute him as a witch hunt, an attempt to undermine his campaign, which it is. It's an entire witch hunt.
Mike Ryan on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
A better business tip from TNT Radio. One reason people tune in to TNT Radio is often because they're loyal to a specific show or personality. Our personalities have been a part of people's daily routine, and people continue to tune in.
They trust TNT Radio
and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
The vaccine was not brought in for COVID. COVID was brought in for the vaccine. Stop the jab and save lives.
The COVID vaccine does not work.
Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast. Here's some interesting news, Ruckus. Some of the top podcasts in the United States so far in 2023 on streaming sites like Apple and Spotify discuss things like faith, the Bible, and Christianity, beating out ones from the New York Times, NBC, and more. In a tweet on Wednesday from Ascension Press, it shared that the number one podcast on Apple is the Catholic Media's The Catechism in a Year podcast with Father Mike Schmitz. What do you think to this, Ruckus? This is surprising to me. We're seeing a major upsurge in information about the Bible and Christianity. I would never have guessed that the top podcasts on Spotify and Apple would be a Catholic podcast. What about you?
Oh, yeah. No, I could believe that. What I wouldn't believe if it was a different type of a Christian faith, but definitely Catholic. Yeah, 100%. I could see this. Yeah. Yes, sir. Pretty big. There are a massive, massive amount of Catholics. I'd have to look it up, but they're definitely up there, man.
Right. Do you think it has to do with people seeking faith, though? Do you think this speaks to the times that we're in, that people are looking for some kind of salvation in this day and age?
I might want to dig deeper into this before I make a serious presumption here, but I'm going to go out on a limb here and going to say that based on some of these things and when they're judging and looking at these numbers, that perhaps the closures of certain things, perhaps the changing of the world, as it were, across the past few years might change the way people attach themselves spiritually. In this case, perhaps more people are tuning in because they're doing less of something else that they used to do. So I think it might attest to the substitution element of technology and convenience in people's lives. And I bet you that's probably what the rabbit hole would lead me down if I were to do some research onto this. I'm just guessing.
Interesting, though. I would have thought like Rogan and all those comedian podcasts would definitely top the charts. You know, it just seems
they're all racist, like anti-science, anti-vaxxers. No way.
That's interesting. All right. Well, U.S. funeral home operator Megan Hess was sentenced to 20 years in a federal prison on Tuesday, 6 months after pleading guilty to defrauding relatives of the 560 corpses she and her mother dissected and sold. The scheme involves Sunset Mesa Funeral Home and its sister operation Donor Services, owned by Hess and her mother, Shirley Koch, who received a 15-year sentence. Koch also pleaded guilty to defrauding relatives of the dead last year. The older woman was allegedly responsible for cutting up the bodies while Hess smooth-talked the living, brokering the body parts and billing families as much as $1,000 for cremations that never happened. So not even the dead are safe, Ruckus. Not even the dead are safe from the corruption of planet Earth. This is a crazy story. Creepy as well, you could say, but kind of a stiff sentence. Ba-dum-bum.
Oh, wow. That was pretty good. By the way, I think the way you pronounce that last name, K-O-C-H, is actually Koch, in case anyone was wondering, like just like the Koch brothers as well.
Well, Koch, Mayor Koch in New York City. Yeah, that's how you spelled his last name.
I'm pretty sure sometimes it's pronounced Coke. It's certainly not pronounced the other way with a hard K sound at the end. That's for sure. We don't want to make that mistake. Now, this is very that's interesting.
True. But yeah, Mayor Koch in New York was spelled that way. So it
maybe
could
in
be
that
either
case,
way,
I don't,
Ruckus.
Because they're a politician, you might want to use the other pronunciation for that person.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
This is something straight out of a novel, a short story, a horror movie. This is crazy, dude. This is the world we live in. I've been seeing a lot of these bizarre, like, what is this for real? Kind of instances where there's all sorts of bizarre crimes and conning and frauding people, and I'm just like, this is getting more frequent, and I don't know if it's because the news is shifting back to reporting news other than the nonstop flow of COVID, then the nonstop flow of impending climate emergency, and the nonstop flow of Ukraine versus Russia, or if there's something to this. I think the world is getting a lot darker and sicker and twisted and more evil, dude. Look at that crazy dude that's killed all those people in Idaho or something. What's that psycho?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what his name is. You know who I'm talking about, right?
With cannibalistic fantasies. And then there was another big murder-suicide.
Yeah, that's great.
And there was a big murder-suicide that just happened in Idaho today as well. Unfortunate situation. 8 people dead. A man and woman getting divorced, and he ended up taking out his whole family. I mean, that's just horrific.
I saw, or you sent me something about somebody having their face chewed off or something like that in some random attack. Or maybe that wasn't you. I don't know.
I don't remember seeing that, so I don't think I sent you that.
There's just
one.
A lot of this stuff going on. You know what I mean? I'm like, this is getting wild. You know, it's might be a sign of the times. Is all I'm suggesting.
Yeah, I wonder if people just get desensitized. You know, you're doing that job. You have a funeral parlor, crematorium, and all that, and after a while you just go like, well, what difference does it make? They're dead. And you just don't respect, you lose all respect for the dead after a while, and then corruption sets in, but what do you think? Do you think the sentence is stiff? I mean, I know I made that joke already, but for real, do you think it's extreme, or do you think that's what they deserve? It's a lot of 15? Years they got.
15 year? Well, so yeah. And the other one got 20. So one of them got 20, the other one got 15. Yeah, yeah, that's, I don't know.
Seems rather extreme. I mean,
I don't know.
Who knows how many people they defrauded, so I don't know.
Well, but yeah, a crime is a crime. It's not like they were like, oh, there's no way if we get caught, they're just going to get a slap on the wrist. So I'm sorry, this is not one of those instances where it's like, I don't think it's that unfair. No, not at all.
No, and then it has spiritual proportions as well, because then people realize that their loved ones have been sort of put, you know, chopped up for experimentation, and that's not good. That would suck to live with that. So there you go. All right, well, let's go to the headlines on TNT.
Alexa, I need some news.
I know that station.
Okay, well, I need real news, Alexa.
They are the realest.
I don't want to hear fake news.
The non-fakiest.
Okay.
Truest. Coolest. Dopest.
All right, let's hear it.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boylan here with a look at your TNT headlines. India has declined to bow down to the West and has refused to criticise Russia over the war in Ukraine. Moscow's vowed to retaliate if Germany pushes ahead with seizing and selling Russian assets and using the cash to rebuild Ukraine. And Russian President Vladimir Putin has ordered a complete ceasefire in Ukraine to mark the Orthodox Christmas holiday, but Kyiv has vowed to keep on fighting.
The common housefly, caught in the clutches of the spider's web. Every move it makes just makes matters worse. Then, dinner time.
Feast on the captivating stories, videos, and helpful information on our website.
Whoa.
Dinner's ready.
Oh, man.
Escape is futile.
Just one more video.
Get stuck in our web.
TNTradio.live.
Welcome back to Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast, here with Adam Ruckus Clark. Here's some good news. Stricken NFL player Damar Hamlin has shown vast improvement today and is reportedly awake, moving his hands and feet, and even writing messages to respond to questions. Doctors at the University of Cincinnati Medical Center said Thursday that Hamlin has made substantial improvement after his cardiac arrest on the field during the January 3rd broadcast of NFL's Monday Night Football. While Hamlin is still considered critically ill, one of the doctors, Timothy Pritz, told the media on Thursday that the player's cognitive function seemed intact, according to ESPN. Apparently, he woke up Ruckus and asked who won the game. And in other news in that, the NFL has decided to not reschedule that game. And so there are all kinds of sort of debate about what that's going to mean for the playoffs and everything. So there you go. That's good news. He's up and Adam. Peter McCullough keeps reporting on this, keeps asking for the NFL to be clear about what's going on here, but it also said that he figured that DeMar would make a full recovery from his professional expertise.
Man, that's really nice to hear, but I don't want to be a downer. I can't do it. I'm not going to do it. All right. No, this is great. Awesome. Sorry.
What's the downer? You can't do that and then pull it away. You got to go forward with it.
Listen. I don't want to accuse anybody of embellishing the truth just because they're in the news or anything like that. But according to the doctor, okay, the doctor answered Hamlin's supposed first question about whether the Bills won the game, the doctor says that he replied saying, "The answer is yes, DeMar, you won the game of life." I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know, the reporter, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if the doctor really said that or not. Sounds nice, but yeah, no, the whole story is great that he's doing well, at least, so for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like he's going to make a full recovery, which is incredible news, you know. So there you go, man. That was a close one. Let's hope he makes that full recovery, you know. A lot of people are praying for him, so that's got to bring some power to his recovery for sure. Ruckus, were you a Journey fan?
If I'm being very honest, by the way, chances are if anybody made up anything like that, it was the writer of the story, because those are the people who wind up usually doing that kind of thing, because there's no way you can check or prove that. They're like, oh, this sounds really great to say that the doctor said he said this really flowery, quotable thing.
I think, listen, this is us being the odd couple, Ruckus, but I was going to let it go, but... Honestly, I believe the doctor did say that. I really, really do. I think it is such a hugely emotional situation. You know, you have the entire nation and much of the world paying attention to this man recovering. And so to be in that situation and to have him actually wake up and ask who won the game, I mean... It would be a cold guy to just go, well, they just postponed it, DeMar. Good job, you're up. You know, I would imagine a guy, if he has a little bit of poetry in his soul, might say, DeMar, you won the game of life. I could see it. I could see it, Ruckus.
All right.
I'll bet you another million sheep on it, but then again, we'll never know.
So, it's unprovable.
But were you ever a Journey fan, Ruckus?
Like the band? Yeah.
The band Journey, right?
Absolutely.
One of the best.
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah.
One of the best bands of all time in a way. I mean, at least for the 80s and that kind of sound. And I think they used Journey in the final scene of The Sopranos as well. And who's the singer? Stephen Perry. Great voice. But, you know... Rock and roll turns out to be not all romance, as it were. Journey's Neil Sean accuses Trump's spiritual advisor of improperly accessing band's bank account. Ugly legal drama continues to rock Journey as founding band member Neil Sean has sent yet another cease and desist letter, this time to keyboardist Jonathan Cain's wife, Paula White Cain, a televangelist who has served as former President Donald Trump's spiritual advisor and delivered the invocation at his inauguration. That's a good line right there. I'll deliver your invocation at your inauguration. Is being accused of allegedly giving herself access to the band's bank accounts with Sean's knowledge of consent, or without Sean's knowledge or consent, according to a December 12th letter from Sean's attorney that was obtained by the New York Post. You know, rock and roll, Ruckus, it always ends ugly. Money corrupts everything. What do you think to this? This has a rock and roll, and it's got Trump's spiritual advisor. Did you know that Trump even had a spiritual advisor? And did you know it was the wife of a member of Journey?
Yes and no. Yes, I knew he had one. I even know who it was. I'm not going to get into it. I'm very familiar with who Paula White is. She calls herself a pastor, actually. So, I'm very familiar with her. I had no idea, though, that she was married to Jonathan Cain, the keyboardist from Journey. I that part somehow must have slipped my. I don't know why I didn't realize that. Yeah. But I was aware, and I knew she was the one that did this invocation, and I don't know if I trust invocations either, personally, but yeah.
What is an invocation?
I know. Isn't that a weird one? Who the heck knows? I think it's like casting a spell or something. Yep. Like the act of, or instance of invoking, especially an appeal to a higher power for assistance, but it's also a part of a religious service or prayer. But it used to also mean conjuring up a spirit using an incantation. So, yeah, it's witchcraft as far as I'm concerned, buddy. There you have it. You heard it
so
here first.
So what's the difference between that and prayer?
Well, you know, I that's a great question, because in prayer, you're praying to God, right? And
right.
I don't know if I want to get into this too much, but these invocations are more like they're trying to like impart a holy power upon she's like doing some sort of special religious magic to anoint King Trump, basically, you know. But as it's all silly and stupid.
So it's different than a prayer, though.
It's not a prayer like you or I think of as prayer. No, not at all. It's like this big public ceremonial thing. Yeah.
Ceremonial prayer, it would sound like to me, but I'm going to have to look into that a little bit more, figure out what that exactly is. All right. Well, there's no biological evidence for gender identity. While the term gender identity has exploded in popularity as a way for transgender individuals to express the feeling of misalignment with their bodies, a group of scientists says that there is no empirical evidence for its existence in biology. According to an international group of over 100 clinicians and researchers, there is currently no biological evidence for gender identity and no laboratory test that can distinguish a trans identified person from a non-trans identified person. Despite this, the belief in gender identity is used as the basis for medically transitioning thousands of children and adolescents. So there's no biological proof of this, but does that make a difference? Do most people think of it as a biological thing, or do they think of it as more of a mental, spiritual situation? I mean, that's how I always took it.
Well, see, no, because this has been the argument from that side. See, they shot themselves in the foot with this one, is that they've insisted that this is a natural biological process, and not just the whims, the fancies of a mentally delusional person. See? So here is actual science showing, well, that's fine and dandy. It sounds good on paper, but there's no proof to back it up. You know, continue on with what you're doing, of course, but maybe you should stop with your – this really does some damage to the core foundation of this idea of gender identity, believe it or not. And I know it sounds weird, but a lot of this has to do with like brain wave pattern research and stuff like that. Because otherwise, I mean, how are you going to know, like, how can you prove biologically the way somebody thinks? Oh, well, yeah, guess what? They have tests and EKGs and can study your brain, and they know a lot of stuff now, folks. It's 2023. Now. So it's really interesting. It's pretty neat. It's pretty fascinating. Some cool science in there. There's some links that people can follow through in this article. It's pretty interesting. It's also kind of funny, because I was trying to send that article to you on the heels of another article that caught my eye today on Epoch Times. And I was like, oh, well, that's kind of funny. I guess the TSA has a new policy that they're making the U.S. airport security screening transgender friendly. They're going to have like a gender neutral algorithm that they're implementing into their policy. So, but as part of all this, it says that it's all based on what they say. There's no way to prove or test. They're just gonna, if the person says they identify as that, then so be it. And some Republicans are very upset about this one, Joseph, because they remember the underwear bomber and other things. So, I guess they started an act it's got this like anti-insanity act is what they're calling it. That there's this new legislation that is called the Securing Americans from Transportation Insanity Act that they want to introduce as a new measure in response to this. So I was like, what the heck is going on here? So I thought that was kind of funny, because now we have scientific proof that all of this is garbage, you know?
Well, what's that mean, though? Like, what are they going to do differently in the TSA if you're in the transgender line? Like, they're not going to put you through an X-ray machine or what? I mean, that doesn't even make sense.
Well, they're not being very specific about it. So, but there are some concerns that, because they used to like do this thing, like they would give you a blue button if you were a dude and a pink button for female or something like that. And then that meant like a female was going to come in and rub down another female, or the dude was going to be the one that rubs down the dude in those sensitive areas, right? See?
Right. Okay. So would they get TSA guards that are transgender for the transgender ones?
That's a great question. I have no idea. I didn't think of that one.
Like, I don't know. It's just, I get it, I guess, in terms of who's going to do the pat down, a man or a woman, but I don't know. What difference does it make? That's my way of thinking, you know. And as far as biological aspects of transgenderism, it would seem to me that's a contradiction in terms. I mean, they are sort of saying that their biology is misdirected away from their actual identity. So it seems to me that it goes without saying that biologically they present as a man or a woman, and then inside, spiritually and mentally, they feel like the opposite of what their biology says. So I just didn't really ever think that they were saying that there was biologically transgender sort of ramifications. It just doesn't really make any kind of rational sense to me. I mean, it doesn't surprise me that the scientific result is that there is no such thing as that on a biological level. That seems pretty blatant. And I'm not even a scientist, Ruckus.
We are not a biologist.
That's true. I am not. I just play one on TNT Radio. We'll be right back with Adam Ruckus Clark after these words on TNT.
With his expert analysis, this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
The last 3 years were an eye-opener when we saw how readily so many of our fellow citizens eagerly complied with absurd, ridiculous, anti-science, draconian, totalitarian lockdowns, masquerade mandates, and gene jab mandates. We wondered how the East German Stasi could control that nation with so few agents. Simple. They had a network of everyday citizens that would snitch on their neighbors. And we saw the same thing here in the United States. Overnight. The last 2 days have been a wake-up call for conservatives, as we've seen so many of our brothers and sisters in arms swallowing the leftist lie whole, parroting GOPE shills like Sean Hannity, calling what's going on in the House of Representatives chaos and a constitutional crisis. No, what this is conservatives wielding political power. I know we're not too used to seeing it happen. I think what we need is to see it happen more often. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
In times of fear, World Vision is there for the most vulnerable. For the last 70 years, we've been standing with kids and families through natural disasters, war, and disease, delivering life-saving aid and helping rebuild lives. And with every act of courage, faith, and love, we do more than just stop the spread of fear. We replace it with hope. Learn more at worldvision.org.
This is TNT Radio, where you meet the entire menagerie of mankind.
And some who haven't yet been cataloged.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast, here with Adam Ruckus Clark. Amazon unveiled a round of dismissals as the e-commerce behemoth reduces costs in response to persistent economic headwinds. Andy Jassy, who succeeded Amazon founder Jeff Bezos as chief executive 2 years ago, said in a message to staff that the layoffs would primarily be concentrated in retail and human resources divisions. The move follows dismissals in the company's devices and books unit at the end of last year and brings the total headcount reduction to some 18,000 employees. Ruckus, between this and the AI taking over at McDonald's and the like, this doesn't bode well for people in America and our economy, if you ask me. This is a disturbing sign, along with all the economic collapse America is facing. What do you think?
Yeah, I think they don't need the humans anymore, clearly.
Right.
Not
so
good.
So what are the people going to do? What are the people going to do? That's the question. I mean,
well,
what do you think the future looks like?
The Kraken's out there. It could just start wiping people out, man. Who knows? Release the Kraken. Who knows, to be honest with you. I don't know what people are going to be doing. That's why I was always curious about this concept of a universal basic income. If people aren't going to work and they just get paid, okay, great. So what do they do? I don't see it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's a trick. I think it's a trap. I think we're just all going to be replaced. Everyone was always like, oh, the elites will never wipe out all the population. They don't really believe in depopulating the whole planet because the humans are the goose that lay the golden egg. Well, you know, clearly we've seen many instances where you can, you know, have a whole bunch of AI and robotic geese laying all the golden eggs these fools won, I suppose.
I'm just worried about humanity in the coming years. You know, are we going to be like, are our streets going to be filled with just homeless people and people lost and just broke? You know, I mean, what's this say for the future of our country? You know, Amazon hires a lot of people, and with AI replacing fast food restaurants at this point, then pretty soon the trucking industry is going to take a hit.
That's going to be a big one.
I guess we all have to learn to code, but then again, now you don't even have to learn that. You can just use ChatGPT to learn how to code, you know, it'll code for you. So, I mean, what are people going to do, Ruckus?
The one you just brought up, the trucking one, if they can seriously replace the truckers, then it's pretty serious time. It's already serious right now, in my opinion, but that's a serious peg right there. That's a domino you don't want to see fall, I assure you. That would be bad.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. All of this does not bode well. 2023 is going to be rough, folks. I hate to say it. I've been trying to be really optimistic. I was just speaking earlier on the phone with my sister earlier today. I don't know where she gave me a call. That was nice. Shout out to my sister. And she was like, oh, before we hung up, she was like, oh, 2023 is going to be a great year. And she was being very optimistic. And I was kind of, I feel bad, but I was a little off put by it. I was like, it came out of nowhere. I don't see any reason for it. But you know, she doesn't do what I do, where I'm digging through all this bad news all the time. But I'm thinking about it. I'm like, yeah, you know what? If I were to sit here and analyze it sincerely, I'm like, this doesn't feel like an optimistic year to me yet already. And we're only 5 days into it. I understand, but it just seems a lot more of the same. And even worse, it seems like we're trying to go back to the 2020 stuff with all this nonsense again, with the COVID and the China and now Italy closing their borders to China passengers and all this stuff. And it's just getting weird again, man. The Kraken thing I just brought up. I'm just like, I don't see it, dude. You know, all these bombshell
information. What's the Kraken thing?
Well, that's the,
explain the that Kraken
they,
thing.
They named the new variant of the COVID-19 Omicron catchy contagious thing that's running around. Instead of calling it the XBB.1.25.867.5309 Jenny. Yeah, they call it the Kraken. The Kraken. Can you believe this crap?
Ooh, and did they explain why they're calling it the Kraken?
Do they need to? It's obviously to scare the crap out of the COVIDiots that buy into this stuff. What? Come on, what a nice, scary sounding name this one is. I mean, geez, and
the Kraken.
It's XBB.1.5 COVID variant. It's a variant of another variant. So this is already getting confusing. But yeah, but this the warning about this one. This is the most, like, where have we heard this before? Tell me if you've heard this before. Oh, they're warning that this one is the most transmissible subvariant yet. Hello,
right?
It's like it's just more of the same, dude. It's nuts. But I'll be optimistic. Sorry, black pill and everything.
No, I mean. I agree with you. It seems like we're heading into seriously trying times. I mean, especially with the layoffs and the economy doing what it's doing, you know. And like you said, if the trucking industry takes a hit, it might be a minute before that happens, but Yeah, of course. I mean, that's a huge part of the economy of the country is all the truck stops, the restaurants, all that stuff. I mean, if that goes away, if you're going to have just legions of people without a purpose or a job. And I just don't know how humanity copes with that.
It's hurting the supply chain again, still, or more, because now, like, because of the China thing, this is one of the stories I reported on earlier for Havori's show. They had that zero COVID thing for a while, right? And everyone was on strict lockdown or whatnot, but they were managing it. They were doing things. They were getting stuff done, right, in certain places, and as far as manufacturing and stuff is concerned. But now they just like let everybody go out and everybody's now sick and now everybody's calling in and people are still not working and it's messing up all of the logistics and the warehousing and the fabricating and the everything's still all messed up and it's not getting any better. Things just keep getting worse. And I'm just like, oh no, this isn't good. I'm like, it's just like, these things are like tidal waves. Like the problems started a long time ago, but we're still waiting for that first massive, like, what's going to happen when it finally hits the whole planet? They're like, oh crap, we're completely out of grain, everybody. Wait, what do you mean we're out of grain? Wait, what? Too late. It's too late. You know what I'm saying? Things are getting very scary very quickly, is all I'm saying. I'm trying not to be too
paranoid. Pepsi started taking deliveries of the Tesla Semi. Tim says he gives it 10 years. Before we have auto trucks on the road, could be less than that. But so Pepsi, apparently there's already a Tesla Semi and Pepsi's already taken orders from that. So yeah, that's coming to us. But here's a little bit of good news. Delta Airlines will provide free Wi-Fi service on most of the U.S. flights starting in February. It's the only way we're going to be able to afford it. The airline said Thursday that by the end of the year, it will outfit more than 700 planes with high-speed satellite-based broadband service from T-Mobile and plans to expand free Wi-Fi to international and Delta connection flights by the end of 2024. Seems interesting, Ruckus, that we don't have free Wi-Fi on flights already. It's been a bit of a con that you had to like sign up and pay $20 for your monthly pass or whatever it was. I always skipped it and just had to sit there void of technology for my flight. But apparently that's all going to change now. At least if you're flying on Delta, you're going to get to connect and stay connected free of charge. That's a good, wow. That's some good news for you, Ruckus.
I'm so behind the times.
It
kind of
helps, right?
Yeah, though I had no idea. The last time I flew, like cell phones weren't even a thing. People had pagers, you know what I mean?
Really?
I'm not making this up. Yeah, it's been a long time.
How come you haven't flown anywhere? Are you afraid of the flights? I know you're afraid to go over the ocean, but
no,
are
I'm
you
not
afraid
terribly
of flying
afraid.
In general?
No, I'm not afraid of flying. I will fly. I've had no reason to go flying, or I don't like it. It's kind of uncomfortable. It's not my favorite thing to do, but it's not like my fear of sharks. But I definitely won't fly over the ocean because of my fear of sharks. That's for sure. So I'm pretty landlocked, unfortunately.
Well, but you're going to have to get over that when you go visit TNT Radio all the way in Australia. There's no other way around it, because you're gonna have to end up flying over the ocean.
Yeah, good luck with that one. I'll teleport. The aliens can come take me in their UFO technology. I suppose I would trust that. If it's UFO-powered technology that's going to get me across the ocean to visit with the TNT mothership, I'll do it. So TNT mothership, I hope you're a real mothership. Send the scout on over and beam me up, Scotty.
Twitter reduced and nixed a number of employee benefits as Elon Musk tries to slash costs at the company. Employees at the social media platform will no longer have access to commuter benefits or meal allowances, even though coffee and snacks will continue to be available in the office. You get a free cup of coffee at Twitter, Ruckus, but not much else. These are indeed trying times. We got Musk, the richest guy in the world, saying there ain't no free lunch, Ruckus. The bird is starving the employees, not putting any worms in their beak, so to speak.
I caught a headline earlier that you shared with me, I think, where I saw somewhere about how like the employees had to bring their own toilet paper to work because the janitors have been fired. Yeah.
That's right. Like, that was a couple weeks ago or a week or so ago.
Yeah. It's funny to witness this meltdown of that cushy, bizarre, like, because these bizarre big tech companies have all sorts of weird stuff going on in their work culture and their workplaces. We've seen the memes and joking around. They got swimming pools and hot tubs and play games and beer pong.
Look what's happening. Look what's happening, on Twitter and with Amazon and with McDonald's and all the like. Look who it's really hitting, Okay, Musk might be losing a bit of money here and there, and Bezos, but it's hitting the little guys. All right, Ruckus, there we go. That's another one wrapped up. You got a little sign out for us? Got 30 seconds.
You know what, Journey? Well, the wonderful Journey, their great song, they said, some will win, some will lose. Some are born to sing the blues. Just kidding, everybody. But seriously, don't stop believing. Hold on to that feeling. God bless everybody.
Perfect. Thanks, everybody. Keep listening to TNT. We'll see you again tomorrow night. Bye-bye.